Father, we just thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. We love you so much. And we thank you for your word and all that you've recorded in it that we can learn from, that we can grow in, and that you will be glorified because of it throughout our lives. So we thank you for opportunity to walk with you and serve you. Open our eyes and understanding, Lord, that we walk in the fullness of all that you've given unto us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was listening the other day to, in fact, I listened to it again today, to where I left off in the book of Acts. So I'm going to pick that up and we're going to start over there again. And we had stopped in Acts chapter 4. And where we were was they had just prayed that awesome prayer. I love that prayer that they have there. And starting in verse 27 or 28, where it talks about your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, here's the prayer. I love it. And now, Lord, consider their threats and grant that your slaves may speak your message with complete boldness while you stretch out your hand for healing, signs and wonders to perform through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they prayed, the place was shaken. Hallelujah. The whole place was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak God's message with holy boldness. Amen. So I'm immediately on the heels of that is where they received the answer to prayer, but then we see it a little further, just continuing being answered all throughout the book of Acts. And I just love it. I love it. You know, here they're being told, don't speak in the name. You know, they're confronted, they're beaten, they're threatened, all because of the name. And they're jealous and just out of sorts because they're using that name. They'd been in prison, they'd been beaten, and now they come again and say, okay, pray for us that we're bold. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but that just that excites me, you know. They didn't back down, they didn't hide, they didn't cower. They just said, pray for us that we have boldness. And they did. Amen. So then in chapter 5, down in verse 12, we see again, many signs and wonders were being done among the people through the hands of the apostles. Well, that's exactly what they asked for, wasn't it? Amen. Do you believe God hears your prayers? Do you believe he wants to answer your prayers? Do you believe he wants to be seen like he was seen in the book of Acts? Amen. Every one of us, if we would just dare believe him, I believe we'll see more than what we have up till this point. But, so many signs and wonders, and by common consent, they would all meet at Solomon's colonnade. And none of them dared join them, but the people praised them highly. Believers were added to the Lord in increasing numbers. So people weren't, there were believers being added. There was a fear or an awe or a reverence for them, those that were committed, amen. They weren't just jumping in. They saw the commitment that it took. So they didn't, it says they didn't dare join them. It means they didn't just jump in and play a game. Amen? I think we need that in the church today, where people look at the sincerity of what that means. You know, years ago, remember Sean Rakitovich? Yeah. Remember him? Back in the youth group, there was this young man, and he was not saved yet. And at the time, God was having us use the youth to share a message every Friday night for a youth group. And Sean says, well, can I share? I thought, oh, my gosh, you're not saved. What do you mean, can you share? I mean, I didn't know what to do, but the Holy Ghost said, let him. So I'm thinking, I'm going to let this unsaved kid share at youth group. I mean, I just felt the responsibility, like, what am I doing here? But the Holy Ghost said, let him. So he got up and he shared. And like they said, no one dared join him. There was a reverence and an awe. And this kid, he preached on what it meant to be a Christian, what that commitment meant. And after he got done preaching, it was excellent. I mean, he spent time looking in the Word and preparing for that. And he got out and he shared the Word and he did it well. And afterwards, I went up to him privately and I says, well, Sean, I says, what about you? Are you ready to receive Jesus? He says, not yet. Not yet. So he looked at it. He evaluated it. He knew what it meant to be committed to Christ, and yet he wasn't ready to commit. And that's what I think this was talking about here. About a week later, I came up to him and I asked, well, where are you at, Sean? He says, well, I prayed to receive Jesus. So on his own, in his own time, he knew what it meant. I mean, he was totally committed once he did that. Amen? Well, I think that's what this is talking about here. And I think that's what the church needs today. It's not a game. Amen. There's a seriousness, and when the body of Christ comes into the place where we're looking at how serious it is, and that the Holy One, amen, the God Almighty, the creator of everything, he's the one we're dealing with, the all-powerful God. If you need to move, go ahead. There's no sun up in the next one. It's okay, okay. So, he's the creator of it all. He's all-powerful. And he's not playing games, and we shouldn't be either. Amen. He wants us to experience and to understand the power, just like the apostles did. And it wasn't just the apostles. We're going to see that it goes further than that. And if you look back in the Gospels, you know, Jesus, before the resurrection, because he had authority, he could delegate his authority. And he told his disciples, and he sent them out, and then more after that, on the heels of that, he sent more out two by two to bring the message and to heal the sick. He even said, raise the dead. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. I believe it. I've seen close to dead, but I haven't seen dead. Amen. Amen. So someday I will. Amen. I've seen a man with a carotid artery that had ruptured, bleeding out completely. Amen. Come back. And then with no cancer reports on the heel of that. Seen somebody come out of a coma that was said they were dying. Come out of the coma. Old lady. Her daughter knew she wasn't saved. She's very concerned about her salvation. Talking to her in a coma. Talking to her. Like she could hear me. Because I heard your spirit never sleeps. So I thought, well, I'm going to try it. Amen. So I'm talking to her like I'm talking to you. Telling her about the plan of salvation and how much Jesus loves her. All of a sudden, she opens her eyes. And I said, have you heard what I'm saying? And she said, yes. And I reiterated what I said again, and she prayed to receive Jesus. She only lived about 2 weeks beyond that, 2-3 weeks. She went to a nursing home, stayed there, but she went to heaven. Amen. Amen. That was a great victory. Amen. So, but I believe in my heart, and there are some people I would have loved to have raised. Heather, Carrie, I wasn't there. Amen. But I believe that I will see that someday. Amen. It's not beyond us. Everything is beyond us. I mean, real. There's nothing that we can do, but through Christ we can do all things. Amen. With his anointing and his grace, his ability, his guidance, his direction, his help, instruction, every step of the way, there's nothing that we can't do. Amen. The only thing that holds us back from accomplishing great things for God is this little thing between our two ears. It gives us trouble sometimes. We get too intellectual, and we always try to rationalize and reason it out, I can't do that. We talk ourselves out of what God has for us. Amen. But he's looking for a body in the end day. He was looking for those that would have faith, that will rise up, that will take their place. I think he's looking right here. I think he's looking. Do we got a crew here? Do we got some here? Are they going to believe me? Are they going to take this thing and run with it? Amen. Because we don't have to have degrees. Amen. We don't have to have anything but faith in him in us. And it's two of us working together. Hon, you want to help me with this? Yep. No, I want you to just help me. I want you to help me move this.
This thing?
Yeah, help me. Help me. Please help me. He's not helping me. Why isn't he helping me? I got to do something, don't I? I got to put my hand to it. If I don't put myself to the thing that God's telling me to do, I can say, God, help me all day long. And nothing's going to happen. The Holy Spirit is the helper. Amen? So he's going to direct us. He's going to prompt us. He's going to instruct us. He's going to tell us what to do. But we got to put our hand to it. And then together we work together with him. And it's easy. But I can sit here all day long waiting for God to show up and do something. And he's not going to do it because he requires people. He put us in charge in the earth. We have been put in a position of authority. If we don't take our position of authority, his hands are tied. He works through prayer and he works through people. So we need to pray and ask him to enter into the situation, or we need to work together with him in the situation, but it's not going to happen all by itself. Amen? So we have to get past this. We have to begin to see us doing something with him. Amen. The greater one. Pastor Gary always says when he lays hands on somebody, he sees the hand of God over his. He sees Jesus' hand over top of his, kind of superimposed. It's not that it's physically there, but it's he pictures it that way. Why? Because it helps him to know, hey, I'm not out here hanging out all by myself. And we never are. The greater one is in us. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Amen. So he's looking, he's waiting on us. Amen. And he's going to have his way. But we need to work together with him.
God always honors his word, always. Now that confuses a lot of people, because then they say, well, then why didn't he do it? Or why doesn't he do it? He always honors his word. What if his word says, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover? What if his word says that without faith, it's impossible to please him? He always honors his word. And so people say, well, I know a lot of situations where he never honored his word. No, you don't know any that he's never honored his word. You don't know any. The problem people have had is, like Pastor Shelley was saying, we've tried to transfer our stuff back on him. Has a parent ever told a kid to clean their room and they come back later and the room's not clean? And you go, well, never mind. I'll just always clean it for you. And you go, oh, well, that's not really how it's supposed to work out. You know, well, maybe I'll help you or whatever. So he always honors his word, and his word includes the responsibility of people. So if people who he put in charge legally, all the way from Genesis 1, man shall rule over all the earth, that's where it started. The authority started there. He can only honor his word, and he can't take it back and change it. The reason why he can't change his word is because everything he says is perfect. When he gives his perfect word forth, you can't change it or it ceases to be perfect. When you hit that dead center bullseye with your arrow, if it's moved 360 degrees in any direction, it is no longer a perfect bullseye. The only way it can stay perfect is if it's immovable. And so when he first said it, this is how I'm going to deal with the earth. I'm going to have people do the stuff. I'll put the power in them to do it, and I'll tell them what to do, and I'll help them to do it. But he can't back out of that because that was his perfect word that went forth. If he stops and changes it, it ceases to be perfect. Perfection requires a standard that is unchangeable. And so he always honors his word, and that's where people trip up because they're thinking, well, oh, no, he's supposed to just come through and do everything. And the answer is no. His word said he'll back us up. He'll tell us what to do. He'll empower us to do it. He'll lead us, he'll guide us, he'll direct us, he'll empower us. He'll do all of that stuff, but he won't change it. You've never, ever, ever seen anybody pray for something in faith that was according to the will of God and them not get it. You've got a lot of confused people that don't know what faith is or was playing games and didn't know what they were doing. Or somebody else was involved that canceled the faith out because it was about them. But you've never seen anyone that went to God within his will, according to his word, by faith and not get it. But you do have some confused Christians that try to push off on God and say, oh, no, God didn't honor his word that time. That's not a smart thing to say. God doesn't always honor his word. Now follow him. You go, well, why would I do that? Because he always honors his word. It's just that the word that he also honors has us inside of that word. Those words are about us. So he's honoring those words to us, for us, around us. But he's got it back to 100% every single time. There's no failure rate with God. If your truck starts 95% of the time, is that a really great truck? If your refrigerator runs 95% of the time, you go, it's a good refrigerator. Just about 5% of the time, it doesn't run, but it's really good. About 95% of the refrigerator works. It's really good. We think, I don't think so. That doesn't sound like a good refrigerator or a good truck. I want the truck to start every time. I want the refrigerator to stay running. And God is better than a truck or a refrigerator. He honors his word all the time. That's why we can say you've never run into a situation where he has not honored his own word. He'd be dishonorable if he did, if it changed, and he's not. But remember to include yourself in that word.
So I'm just going to back up and read that scripture again. None of the rest dared join them, but the people praised them highly. Believers were added to the Lord in increasing numbers, crowds of both men and women. And as a result, they carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and pallets so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. In addition, a multitude came together from the towns surrounding Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Hallelujah. Amen. And that is exactly how it's supposed to work. People hear of the testimony of God's goodness and his power, his healing and his anointing, and people being delivered and set free. Amen. And it increases. It continues to increase. I am amazed. Well, even in Ghana, I think it surprised both everybody because I did a healing seminar there one time, and we're in a church, and with this was right after Annie Durant was here, and Annie, she's just superb, and she shared that when what increased healings in her ministry was when she began to ask people to begin to in faith. You can't move your arm? We'll pray for the arm. Okay, now move it. Begin to use it. Do something you couldn't do. Couldn't bend over? Okay, try bending over. Amen. Put something to your faith. So right on the heels of that, I went to Ghana one time, and I did that in the church service. Well, this last time, we had called for healing one night. People came forward. And I started doing that again. And it was just the craziest thing because there's just like no expression, nothing going on, and you think nothing happened to these people. Somebody got sight. Oh, yeah, I can see now. Like, yeah, I can pick up my socks, you know what I mean? It's like, geez, you know, I mean, they were just unexpressive, and it was just blowing us away, because this one young man, he came up, he had some problems. I says, okay, you just run right back there and come back, and he did, and I says, well, how was that? He says, well, I couldn't do that before. Somebody was having some breathing problems, and we prayed for them, and there was an instant turnaround. But these people are standing there like nothing's going on. And you think, what is wrong with you? Somebody get excited here, you know? And I think the same thing happens in America. I think we've seen plenty of miracle, and it's like, oh, okay. And, you know, yeah, it's supposed to be every day because it's just the way it is. You know, God is faithful to watch over. But we can get excited. Amen. And we can testify and we can share those things. And we ought to be sharing it. We ought to be publicizing it. When they got excited in the day of Jesus, multitudes came out. Why? Because somebody was voicing it. Somebody was testifying. God just healed. There's a lame man. He just got up. This guy's been, you know, 8 years over here. He's been on his bed. Now he's up and running. They were excited and they testified. Amen. You know, if Jesus makes a difference in our life, people ought to know it. Amen. I mean, if there's a depression, oppression, any kind of yuck on our life and it lifts because we've come into communion with Jesus, people ought to see it. They ought to know it. We ought to be excited about it. And you know, I don't know what's happened that we're so blasé. It really is amazing to me. It really is. We ought to be out in the streets shouting, jumping up and down. Somebody ought to do something. Because I really thought this was going to happen the first few miracles. All it's going to take is a couple miracles and the church is going to explode. Well, 28 years later and a multitude of miracles, and I mean, we got to do something. We got to get more vocal about our God. Amen. We got to be more expressive. We got to be bolder about what's happening in our lives. Huh? Yeah. I mean, that's what it's going to take. It really is. It's, you know, because right now it's like, oh, ho-hum, church again. It ought not be that way. Right? So anyways, these guys got excited about this stuff. And they're to the point that they're bringing people, man, this stuff is so good. Let's just hope Peter walks by. Maybe they'll catch a shadow and get healed. I mean, they were believing, like, you know, swinging from the chandelier believing. Let's just believe God. They were not holding back. Amen. That's pretty exciting stuff. So, anyways, the Sadducees and all of them, they got really jealous. They arrested him again. They beat him again. They told him again, cut it out. We don't want to hear anything preached in the name of Jesus. How important is the name of Jesus? Huh? It's a name that's above all names. It's the name that's been given to us. It's the authority that we walk in. It's been delivered unto us. They were getting beaten. They were jealous. They were mad about it. They were trying to get them to shut up because every time they used the name, people were being saved and set free, delivered and healed. And they wanted them to stop it. Can you imagine seeing a multitude of miracles and wanting to squelch it because you're jealous? Of what? Nothing's happening under their ministry. What are they jealous of? What are they going to pick up if they make them shut up? What are they doing? They're nothing. They're adding nothing. And yet they want to take away what God has for them. It's crazy. But it's a religious spirit driving these people. And there's still religious spirits out there today that are driving people and driving churches, and nothing's happening, and they're mad when they see something happen and they try to discredit it, and nothing's changed. Same thing's been going down the pike for 2,000 years. It's crazy, isn't it? But God, he's going to have his way in the end because, you know, he's already told us. And we're going to see it. So didn't we tell you strictly to not use that name? And their response was this. And I love it. We must obey God rather than man. We must obey God rather than man. When it comes to a choice, what you're going to do, you better obey God. You better hold his word and his ways up above. Don't say anything. Don't do anything. Don't pray here. Amen? There's power in that name. Well, they just, they called them together again. They flogged them again. They told them again, don't speak in that name. And, again, they're out proclaiming the good news. Amen. Because what did they ask for prayer? Boldness. That we would speak boldly in the name. Amen. Amen. That's a good prayer for everyone. Amen. So anyways, things, chapter 6 of Acts. And they were having some issues. Some widows were being overlooked. So they tried to set something up. In verse 2, the 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples and said, it would not be right for us to give up preaching about God and to wait on tables. Therefore, brothers, select among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we can appoint to this duty. Now, wait a minute. These are just waiting on tables. They're not necessarily in the pulpit. They're not apostles. They're not in the limelight. But what's the requirement? Holy Ghost, full of the Spirit and wisdom and good reputation. Do you think that's necessary for the body of Christ today? I mean, to wait on a table or sweep a floor? I mean, people get mad when there's, you know, a standard set. But this is the Word of God. And what's the standard? Why? Because even on waiting tables, they're representing Jesus Christ. Right? In everything here. And wisdom is needed in the representation. In every little aspect that they're given. How are they going to wait on these widows? How are they going to serve them and not have a problem? They need the wisdom of God. They need to be led by the Spirit. They need to have a good reputation. Amen? And then down in verse 7 it says, so the preaching of God flourished and the number of disciples in Jerusalem multiplied greatly and a large group of priests, hallelujah, became obedient to the faith. Isn't that exciting? Well, you guys aren't excited? A large number of priests came to the faith. I think that's exciting. I think that's exciting. And you know the same thing's happening today. I was in Israel in 99. And at that point, there was a large number of priests that came to the faith, but they weren't saying anything yet. They recognized Jesus was Messiah, but they weren't letting the cat out of the bag until they had reached over 50%. Evidently, they haven't gotten there yet. But there's a large number of priests that are believing. And I think that is exciting. Amen. God's going to have his way in the Jews. Amen. In every denomination, every nation, he's going to show himself. And he's got a foothold planted. It's exciting. It's exciting to look at the Muslims coming in. It's exciting to see the video clips that we see where whole villages are coming to know Jesus as Messiah, that he is supernaturally giving them dreams, and the whole village is having a dream at night. Can you imagine? Everybody in town waking up having had the same dream, and knowing that Jesus is Messiah. Isn't that amazing? I mean, he's doing all sorts of things. That's just one of the ways. But God is showing himself strong all throughout the world. We're just here in Darien. It doesn't look like anything much is happening. But let me tell you, God's being God. God's opening eyes. He's stirring people up. Amen. Whole people groups. Yay. So he is going to have his way. But then verse 8, it says, Stephen, now here's the guy waiting on the tables, right? That's all he's doing. He's freeing up the apostles so they can get to the word and preach the word. He's just freeing them up. But Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Now, this is just ordinary Stephen. Amen? Not called to fivefold ministry. This is a man who had a heart for God. And he loved God. And God filled him with his Spirit. And he yielded to the wisdom that God gave him. Amen. And God was showing himself strong. And what happened to the ordinary man that wasn't called the fivefold ministry? It says, great what? How does it say it there? Full of grace and power, and was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Full of grace and power. Was he one of a kind? He was just a man full of God. And he took his place in God. I mean, I'm not trying to minimize him, but I want you to see the reality that he was just like you and me. Amen. Just like what's it say in the book of James about Elijah, of like passion. Just a man. You can pray just like he prays. Yeah, but he stopped the rain for years. And then when he commanded it to rain again, it rained. We're just like him. We can pray just like him. How is that possible? Got to get past this. All things are possible to him who believes. Amen? Great, full of grace and power, and was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Stephen. Hallelujah. We're in the days where there's supposed to be this was the early rains. Right? This was the early rains. And we're coming into the latter rains. We're in the latter rains. Amen. And there's supposed to be a greater outpouring at this time. Well, that's pretty cool, huh? I don't know. You guys don't look too excited. But I think it's pretty cool. Amen. Because that means we can all get in on this. Right? I mean, really, seriously, the day where the church has really elevated man to a real high position, we've lifted man, we've raised him up. And I think God is raising all of us up. Not just a highlight here and there. Not just a specialty here and there. Yeah, there's always going to be those that really yield and believe God. And they're going to shine a little bit brighter. But that doesn't mean we have to stay behind. We can shine just as bright. Amen? We can yield to the Holy Spirit. We can believe God like they believe God. Amen. It's time for the church to shine. It's time for us to take our place. So there were some issues again, and they were disputed with Stephen, but they were unable to stand up against the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Amen. An ordinary man, but he's got the wisdom of God. If you lack wisdom, let him ask without doubting, and he'll give it to you. He won't withhold it from you. Amen. We can have that same wisdom that he was walking in if we yield to it, if we believe it. See, we're our own worst enemy, I think. And we got to change some of our thinking. Well, he went through some things. What happened to, y'all know what happened to him, right? He was the first martyr. He started preaching. They didn't like what he was saying. And those that were really against him threw their cloaks down at Saul's feet. Saul, who became Paul. And he was there condoning the murder of Stephen. What a testimony of how he turned around, right? But, so right on the heels of that, everyone, the church began to scatter. Everybody went, ran, because persecution, that day that happened to him is when persecution really began in the church on that day. But then in chapter 8, we're going to look at Philip. We'll just go ahead and start in verse 1. That way you get the end of what happened. Saul agreed with putting him to death, and on the day a severe persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout the land in Judea and Samaria. But devout men buried Stephen and mourned deeply over him. Saul, however, was ravaging the churches, and he would enter house after house and drag off men and women and put them in prison. So those who were scattered went on their way proclaiming the message of good news. And Philip went down to a city in Samaria and preached the Messiah to them. And the crowds paid attention with one mind to what Philip said. As he heard and saw the signs he was performing. Here's another one. Signs. For unclean spirits crying out in a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And so there was great joy in the city. So there it looks like there were gifts of healing that were specific, that the lame were healed and the paralyzed were healed and the demon-possessed were set free, that those were specific areas. And there are some people that have giftings like that, where there'll be a specific thing that wherever they go, blind eyes will open or deaf ears, something, or heart disease. Brother Hagin ministered a lot to people with heart disease and cancers, and they were healed. Just almost everybody. And that is a gift of healing. Now, healings, laying hands on the sick, it's a point of contact. You release your faith. They release their faith at the same time. That's why the majority of healings take place when you lay hands on the sick. Because there's a point of contact that faith is released. But with the gifts of healing, they're specific things. And they saw paralyzed people raised up. They saw lame people raised up. And they saw demon-possessed people set free. Hallelujah. Amen. And there was great joy in the city. Amen. They got happy about it. Amen. They didn't sit there and go, oh my, isn't that nice? But they got happy about it. Amen. We'll jump down to verse 12. Well, let's back up to verse 9. I like this story about Simon. A man named Simon had previously practiced sorcery in the city and astounded the Samaritan people while claiming to be somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least of them to the greatest, and they said, "This man is called the great power of God." They were attentive to him because he had astounded them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, he was proclaimed the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Both men and women were baptized. Then even Simon himself believed. And after he was baptized, he went around constantly with Philip and was astounded as he observed the signs and great miracles that were being performed. Glory to God. So God is being exalted. When there is the reality of God in the midst, the counterfeit is exposed. Amen? And when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had welcomed God's message, they sent Peter and John to them. And after they went down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet come down on any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that the Holy Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power too, so that anyone I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter told him, "May your silver be destroyed with you, because you thought the gift of God could be obtained with money. You have no part or share in this matter, because your heart is not right before God. And therefore repent of this wickedness of yours, and pray the Lord that the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." And there are always going to be those that try to market the gospel. Seems as though that's one of the things that on the sidelines somebody is going to try to mess with it. But he repented. He repented. Amen? Because it says, "Please pray to the Lord for me," Simon replied, "so that nothing you have said may happen to me." Amen. So they went out evangelizing. Well, what was the power? What did they see happen? I mean, it wasn't just speaking in tongues. Amen. Speaking in tongues, Pastor Gary was talking Sunday about that, that it is the doorway to the miraculous. It opens things up. What speaking in tongues does is it makes you very sensitive to the Spirit of God. Amen? So that you are more receptive and you follow His leading better. But they saw the power of God. What happened with we're looking through the book of Acts. We've seen several things take place now. But in Acts 2, when there was the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, what happened? They were, it says, "Wait until you are endued with power from on high." It didn't say, "Wait until you speak in other tongues." Right? It says, "Wait until you're endued with power." They wanted them filled with power. Amen. Now, I'm not minimizing tongues, but I think sometimes we've maximized tongues as though tongues is the catch-all. It's everything. It's everything it's all about. Tongues is the evidence that you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. But it's not evidence of what? That you've been endued with power. Baptizo is a word borrowed from the dye industry. And what happens was that you would dip your cloth. You have a white cloth. You dip it into purple dye. You pull it out. It takes on the property of what it was dipped into. It comes out purple, right? It was baptized, and it came out different. When we're baptized in the Holy Ghost, we're to come out different. Why? Because we take on the properties of the Holy Ghost. Amen? We all receive the Holy Ghost when we're born again. Every one of us has received the Holy Ghost. Amen. When I was Catholic, and it was just religious upbringing. When I came and was born again, it was in an evangelical place, and I received the Holy Ghost in that evangelical coffee house. Amen. Now, later on, I went over into the charismatic. Watch out, slippery bank, you slide in. I went over there, and I found out there's even more. And I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I got empowered with God. I never saw healings before I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I never saw miracles before I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I didn't. It was oh, well, if God wants to, he can. I know God can if he wants to. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, if he wants to. I just don't know if he wants to. So if I don't know if he wants to, then do I have any faith? I'm not putting faith in anything because I don't know. I don't know, and faith are two extremes, right? Faith is, I know. Unbelief is, I don't know. So the two are never going to meet. It's, you got to decide, what do you know? Well, now I know. I know Jesus is the healer. I know that he bore those stripes on his back, that he was beaten and he was ripped and he was torn and he was shredded and he suffered horribly in his body so that I could be free in mine. I know he did that for me. And it wasn't just for a few in the beginning of the church age. It's for the whole world. It's redemption. He bought everything back that was lost. He brought us out of death. Amen. We just were severed. We had no hope. And yet he brought us from death to life. Amen. From darkness to light. He brought everything around for us, so that we could walk in the fullness of the benefits of our salvation. And healing is one of the benefits. But when we were, I didn't know that before. But once I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, my spirit started doing flips. Wow! This is for real. This is exciting. God's a God of power. He wants to do this. He wants to move through me. I wasn't sure how to do it, but I knew he wanted to do it. So I'd pray a prayer of agreement, and I'd anoint with oil, and I'd do everything I could. Agree with me. I mean, we'd do it all, whatever it took. Because I didn't know. I just wanted to see it happen. And I knew it would happen. And we saw it happen. But before, I never saw it happen. Well, the power comes on the inside of us. There's power on the inside of you. There is an equipping. What do you need equipment for? I mean, it'd be foolish to load up a fireman and put on those hot, sweaty rubber pants and boots and that big coat and hat and have him stand out 90-degree weather outside and not do anything, fully equipped, ready to do the job, but not do a thing, just stand there and melt. We're fully equipped. We've been empowered. We've been given the goods. We have what it takes. We've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and we came up with his power, his anointing. We're well able. Amen? What an awesome God. He's not left anything out. Amen. We can go about, we can do this. You don't have to be afraid if somebody's sick. I mean, you can't push past them. If they don't want you to pray for them, don't pray for them. I mean, I made that mistake many a time. I wanted it so bad for them, I just run over the top of you. Well, I want to pray for you anyways. No, they don't want it. It's not going to do any good, no matter how bad you want it. And then it just hurts you and it hurts them because nobody's going to see anything happen. Right? So, but if they want it, you tell them how much Jesus loves them and how he's paid the price. and that you have the Spirit of God in you. And he said, believers lay hands on the sick, and I qualify because I'm a believer. So if I lay hands on you and I pray for you, that anointing's going to go in you and heal you. It's as simple as that, in the name. Remember, they were getting beaten? Remember, they're getting thrown in jail constantly? Oh, they come out and they're speaking boldly. Okay, let's flog them again. Let's throw them back in. Let's do it again. They're still using the name. They're still seeing miracles. They're still coming to see Jesus. Let's beat them again. There's something about the name, and we've been given the name. In my name, you shall cast out devils. You shall lay hands on the sick. See, we've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and we've been given the name above all names. We're not lacking for anything. Every one of us can go forth in the name, in the power, in the authority of what we've been given. Amen.
When we baptize a kid in like a swimming pool, we'll get on both sides of them, and we want to be careful because some kids don't like water going up their nose. And we teach them about hold your nose and cross your hands, and we dip them into the water and bring them back up. That's the base word for baptizo. It's actually the word bapto, B-A-P-T-O. And it technically means to dip, where you take on the qualities of Christ. But if you take that same kid and you want to baptizo them instead of bapto them, you would take them to the ocean and or Lake Michigan on a stormy day and take a 3-foot kid out to where the 4-foot waves are. And you put a 3-foot kid out where a 4-foot wave is coming, they get just as wet as if you dip them, but it moved them. So bapto means to take on the qualities, really the qualities of Christ, the love of God and all that stuff. Baptizo is a stronger soaking. You get wet both ways. I mean, it means both. Baptism and to be baptized, to dip, and it also means to be, though technically it says fully whelmed, which means overwhelmed. It's the 4-foot wave coming over the top of the 3-foot kid. So you feel the power and you feel the move of God. And when we're talking about baptism in the Holy Spirit, both happens. Dipping like the dye industry. Then as soon as you come out from being dipped and taking on the qualities, you go down to the water's edge and walk around where the waves are taller than you are. And then you take one full wave. And it so overcomes you that it carries you. And so both of these words are used. There's technically 3 words used in baptism and baptize and such. But to dip and to be fully or overwhelmed is the other word. The stronger word, baptizo. You get wet, all right. The same wet, the same quality, but it will produce a surrounding push that carries you just a little bit farther. So, I mean, it might be kind of cool to take somebody out to get baptized and say, well, we're not going to take you and lay you back and dunk you. We're going to walk you out till the wave is a foot higher than your head. And we'll just kind of hold on to you or tie a rope to your leg or something. And because you can do it either way. One is the stronger word.
So you're fully whelmed, or you've been overwhelmed by the Spirit of God. Amen. So I'm going to challenge you. Pray ye for one another. Amen. Look for opportunities. Start believing in the greater one that's on the inside of you, because he is. And he's not in there swinging on a hammock. Amen. And it's been that way for too long, where he's just waiting and waiting and napping and snoozing and looking for something to do. Amen. He wants to be active, constantly active in our lives. We should be looking, God, who can I? I mean, they were sharing their testimony. They were laying hands on the sick. Signs and wonders. I mean, we've seen signs and wonders where we were out barbecuing and there was a tornado warning that came out, and there was a big, huge black cloud, and it was horrible. And Dave Halverson and Pastor Gary were outside, and they wanted to finish the barbecue. So Dave just spoke to the sky and and told it to what? Split? Stop? Yep, it went around them.
We were standing in no wind. It was behind the Catholic Church. We were standing in no wind outside. And you know those big, huge dumpsters on wheels, like we go behind the church? I look out on the street right next to us, and a dumpster is going down the street like a car driving. The wind was so strong, it was taking a dumpster right down the street with nobody pushing it. And I look the other way, and every scrap of paper and leaf and everything in Delavan is just shooting sideways. And Dave is just going like doing the cheeseburgers. And on both sides of us, this is happening, and we are in total calm in the center of this. He finishes the cheeseburger, puts him on the tray, steps inside, and then the gully washer hits. Koshoom, and we're sitting inside eating the cheeseburgers. That's the first time I ever saw somebody. He said, "We don't have to put up with this," and he pointed to the sky and told it to stop until he finished his cheeseburgers. But it didn't stop on both sides of us. I'm talking 50 to 100 feet on both sides of us. We're in the middle of it. And you think, well, you were in the eye of the storm. All I know is we were in the no wind, but on both sides of us there was. And he had plenty of time to finish them. It wasn't a matter of seconds. It was a matter of minutes, because he said, "We got to get these cheeseburgers done." I think, well, God wouldn't stop a storm for a cheeseburger. He did that day. He did that day. We needed cheeseburgers pretty bad. So, yeah, then that was the first time I thought, this is possible. This is incredible.
Signs and wonders. That's a sign and a wonder, you know. It's not all healings. It's not all deliverance. There's different things that just say, hey, this is God. It can't be any other explanation. We had a friend that I took down to healing school in Tulsa. We sat in healing school for a week. And we had a set day to leave, and she just felt she needed to go then. She wanted to go home. So we packed up and took off in the middle of the afternoon, late afternoon. And I called Pastor Gary, and he says, "It's supposed to start snowing." I thought, great, drive in the snow all night long, not having slept beforehand, not leaving, you know, till 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Thought, this is not going to work. And I thought, nope, we're not going to have snow. We got to the Missouri border, right at Joplin, and I started seeing snowflakes. That's not very far into the trip. And I said, no, in the name of Jesus, it's not going to snow on this trip. We went all the way. I dropped her off in Beloit. I got on 43 to head to my house, and it started snowing. I was okay with it snowing from 43 home. But we got all the way from Oklahoma to the Wisconsin border, got her in her house, and then it started snowing. Can you do that? Yes, you can. There was danger in that trip. if we hadn't. And we took authority in the name. And we saw the results. Another sign. Somebody, oh, that's just luck. No, that's just my God. He's my God, and he's a good God, and he's your God. And he doesn't play favorites. So what he'll do for me, he'll do for you. What we see he's done for someone else, we've got the same ability to believe God to do for us. Amen? Sure.
It happened in our front yard. And I'm not going to say who they were. One was our daughter and one was somebody else, and they had their cars parked there. And we're telling them, the one person, you got to live right. You got to change your life. You got to do make some adjustments. And a storm blew through. And the cars were side by side. And we had this angel ornament out in the flower garden, you know. And a tree came down on the one car, and the angel was swept up by the wind and landed on the other car. So we came out, and a tree is on the one car, and an angel is on the car right beside it. They're side by side, and we're going, tree, angel, side by. And we just said that. It was so funny because, anyway, I thought it was a funny sign and wonder. But the angel landed on the one car and the tree landed on the other.
Well, Father, we just come to you and just ask that you would use each and every one of us. Open our eyes to the possibilities and to the desires that you have. We know you want to be seen in a greater way, and we want to be vessels you can use. So open us up. Open our thinking, our hearts. Help us to see, help us to look for areas that we can share and testify about your goodness and your grace and your love, and that we can lay hands on the sick and cast out devils and see signs and wonders and things take place because you're good and you need to be seen and exalted in these days. So we thank you for the opportunities, and we pray you'd be glorified through each life represented here. In Jesus' name, amen.